Christ.
Blog Talk Radio.
No problem. Welcome, everybody. We're going to start our Bible study because we're going to go over two chapters in Genesis and talk about what Skip Heitzig says in his book. But we want to go over the scriptures themselves. So let's just go ahead and have a word of prayer. We're glad Jacob's with us. And hope it won't be his first and last time. And good morning. Okay, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll go ahead and begin. Father, we just thank you so much for your grace and mercy, and we pray that as we go over these chapters in your word, that we'll glean from them some important information that will help us understand you and your way and our life that we have with you. And we just ask that you lead and guide. We pray also for the services to follow, that you would have your way and lead and guide in that service also. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's go to Genesis chapter 8. And I want to go over that and just go verse by verse, and then we'll discuss Skip's I probably might even say, while I'm reading this, some things that he said. In reading that book, did anybody have any anything that stood out to him or want to make a comment or ask a question about the book? Okay. All right. So let's go to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 1. Now, this is after the flood. And a lot of first things happen in these two chapters. So, verse 1, and God remembered Noah. Not that he had forgotten Noah. It's just, you know, like you put things in your to-do list, and then it comes time to do it, and you say, oh, yeah, I got to go, it's time to do that. Well, that's what it means. God remembered Noah. And every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. And God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. Probably assuaged. This is the first time that wind had blown on the earth. There was no wind before that of any amount. I'm sure it was a breeze or something, but the idea here is and God made a wind to pass over the earth, and it was to dry the earth out. And also the water was draining back into the oceans. There were oceans now. They didn't have it. Now, it's a totally different earth now than it was before. It's an earth like we have now. The mountains and everything that you see now is a form of God's judgment for sin on the earth. The beautiful mountains and everything, and the trees and everything, and the coastlines and everything that people go out, they climb the mountains. What's that, the Himalaya mountain or whatever that mountain is? How many people died going up it and all of that? Well, that's God's judgment. That's proof of his judgment. Then he gave us, well, I don't want to get ahead, but that, so the waters assuaged, that means they kind of moved around, you know, it's like letting the water out your bathtub. It just don't go out all at once. It kind of just goes out as it drains out. Verse 2, the fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. I like the way it says that. It's like, you know, is giving credit to who's in charge. God is. He's in charge of restraining the water, and he gets his way in a whirlwind. Verse 3, and the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the water were abated. That's a long, you talk about a flood, you talk about, ooh, my goodness. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the Mount of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month. In the tenth month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountain seen. So this was a slow process. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark, which he had made, and he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her feet, and she returned unto him, into the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet other seven days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. I like what Skip says about this. We're in chapter 8 and verse 12. Skip says something that, you know, the dove and the olive branch is a sign of peace on a lot of places. But actually, this is, in the Bible, it's a sign of judgment and God's judgment on the earth, that this one was done with. It was over. When he was baptized, well, there was they had cloven tongues that looked like it looked like tongues, yeah. And there was the Holy Spirit came down like a dove when he was baptized, and it says that he was filled with the Spirit at that time. Verse 13, and it came to pass in 600. And first year, in the first month, the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. I imagine he was pretty happy about seeing that. He's been up there. He's been in that thing. You know, he got in it about a year ago and seen some things and heard some things. Okay, and in the second month, on the 7th and 20th day of the month, was the earth dried. Verse 15, and God spake unto Noah, saying, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Noah didn't move. You know, he was a believer before the flood. He's definitely a believer now. Now, and he wasn't going to go out of that ark until God said, okay, y'all can come now. you can leave. And verse 17, bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, and every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth after their kinds, went forth out of the ark. Now, answers in Genesis That's the one that built the Ark in Kentucky. And they have a creation museum up there. They said that there were 7,000 animals on the Ark, you know, approximately. And so, yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Because they had, I was just thinking, as you read this, I was thinking they had to have a whole bunch more by the time that time passed, right?
You would think. Yeah, like rabbits, they mother like that.
Nothing else to do.
Right. Doggone right. Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. Verse 20, and Noah builded an altar unto the Lord and took of every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered a burnt offerings on the altar. So how many animals you think, you know, how many clean beasts, and he took one of each clean beast. All I can say, that was a barbecue. That was a lot of animals. Even if it was 10%, you're talking about, say, 700 animals. Even if it was 5%, you're talking about 350 animals. And this is the first time an altar is built. There was a reference when Abel offered a sacrifice. It doesn't say it was burnt, though. But he offered a sacrifice. There was animals were killed. And so this is the first time an altar is built, and Noah sacrificed these animals. And in verse 21, it says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And now, you know, y'all have all barbecued hamburgers or steaks or whatever. It does smell good. You know, and God said it was a sweet savor. And I had one. I was talking to a lady about this yesterday when I was at work. Chidetta, she's a Christian. She says, "Yeah, it was that fat and that meat. It was probably Angus, at least, or choice, minimal." And the Lord smelled the sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, neither will I again smite anymore everything living as I have done. And that statement, the Bible tells us that he said that in his heart, and there was an acceptance of the sacrifice, and the sacrifice was to acknowledge that they were sinners, and that the ark and the flood was because of the sin on the in the world, and it was very violent, and very violent, and so, and God said, "Hey, his heart is that way." It's going to be that way. And so, and it's that way today.
Can you imagine how his family felt? You know, they probably had questions in their mind, well, is that really going to happen? Oh, had he lost his mind and stuff? And then they go on board, and then the flood happens, just like you said. God told him how they must have felt, you know, at that moment when they realized, wow, he really did talk to God.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
I imagine they heard people crying.
Yeah.
Particularly when the water started to rise up so high.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
The question goes back to the animals on the rock.
The what?
The animals. Did you tell us about the animals on the rock?
Yes, ma'am.
Did you tell us you took the babies, the young animals? If you took the young animals, they weren't dead, you could mate.
That's a... They had to be, I really don't know. I'm trying to think of what I saw when I went up to Kentucky. The cages were different sizes, and, yeah. They
got the young ones to They weren't
old enough. Yeah.
We're not ready.
Right. That's good. Okay. Oh, we're in chapter 8, verse 22. That's a good point. I don't know. I can't remember. I know that they didn't bring every kind. They didn't bring a German Shepherd and a Cocker Spaniel and a poodle dog and a sausage dog or whatever they call it. What's that?
Dachshund,
yeah. My sister. They didn't do that. They brought one of a kind. Now what it was, I don't know. You know. Right. Right. Like a zebra. Right. 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 That's a good point. Well, another thing that you bring it out, and it goes along with that. Noah and his wife. He's 600 years old now, but his kids didn't have any kids while on the yacht, the ark. So they didn't get busy reproducing, and so, but when once they got off, they said, "Go at it, you know, replenish the earth, you know."
Noah's kids replenished the earth.
Right. Noah had three boys. And their wives. The three boys and their
wives.
Yeah, yeah. I'll show you that up here. Yeah. They brought wives. Let's see, what's this? And it came 600. Yeah, it says here, verse 16, "Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee." So Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and their wives. And they were to replenish the earth. It wasn't until 1804 that they got back up to the population on earth that was the population when the flood came, and the flood came about 2500 BC. So you're talking about 3500, almost 4300 years to get back up to a billion. Miss Sue? Oh, okay. Sherry?
No. God chose Noah because he was righteous, and apparently his family were too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious as to where the three sons found three women that were.
Right. Doesn't say they were. Right. It doesn't say they were. They could. I don't think they were of Cain's lineage. I think they were of Seth's lineage. But we'll see in the next chapter. Noah starts growing grapes. You know, and that's he didn't do that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Don't matter. He didn't do that. He was a mechanic before. He was an engineer and a mechanic. Then he went into being a farmer and a vine dresser. Now I don't know how long it takes to grow a grapevine so it can produce grapes. I know it takes. I'm pretty sure it would take a lot of time or some time. And so that was from the pre-flood knowledge, and so there was Noah's sacrificing all his animals. Said, "Look, if there's anything, I'm just thinking conjectures. If anything, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know my kids are sinners." And my wife's a senator because we've been on this boat for the last year, and we've been real close. So we know we're not perfect. And God honored that by the sacrifices. They recognized that they were sinners, and they needed God's grace and forgiveness. Now, the wives and and that's a good point. Noah was a good father, and he raised his kids, obviously, to believe like he believed. He was a good patriarch. And so, and the wives were believers also, or they wouldn't have got in the boat. And so, but how much of a believer they were, we'll see that in the next chapter. Yeah. Right. They had plants, and they had a lot of grain. At least that's what I saw on the boat in Kentucky. They had a lot of grain, and I think they used that. And, yeah, they had seed. It must have been a seed. And the knowledge on how to do it, you know. So let's see. Where were we? Okay. Right.
Jesus Christ, because if they
weren't,
Noah probably wouldn't have let them on the boat.
Right, or they wouldn't have wanted. The thing is, there was never a rain before, and it says in Hebrews that Noah moved with fear and built that boat. Hmm. You know, it wasn't.
I had forgotten about the rain, so I was an adult, but that's just something that just flew over my head, I guess, in the young parts, and that it got
to work. No.
How did they grow anything?
Well, there was, yeah, it was like an automatic sprinkler system out of the ground. That's what it was.
They had wells. Yeah.
It came, it sprinkled, yes, ma'am.
I read that the water that they needed came from above. It is mist.
Hmm.
And
right.
Like we have the dew, mm-hmm. they came up from the ground.
Right.
That's what I had
read. Right. And it had not rained. No. It was, but it was like, yeah. Now he says in verse 27, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. So, and like Skip says, some say that all that water made the earth tilt, I think 24 degrees or something like that, so to allow for the different seasons. And you can tell the sun, the earth kind of moves, and the sun has a different angle that it hits during different times of the year. Let's go to chapter 9 and see what they got there. Good comments, good conversation. And God blessed Noah and his son and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. There we go. And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air and upon all that moveth upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things. Now, what he's saying, hey, you're not vegetarians anymore. You can go out there and eat the meat. Kill the animals and eat them. They didn't eat. They were vegetarians before. And he put a fear in the animals and to help the animals exist, you know, and not thinking that Shem's going to come up to some little cattle or something, and the cattle just say, oh, nothing's going to, you know, the cattle's going to have a fear, and he's know that guy might kill me, right? And they have that today. And it says here, and then in verse 4 it says, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall be ye not eat. And surely your blood of your lives will I require at the hand of every beast, will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother, will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God made he man. And you, be ye fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth, and multiply therein. And that's just, you know, let's say an eye for an eye, or if somebody takes a person's life, then their life should be taken, capital punishment. And that is a very, that is a deterrent to continually do that. And so that's, man is going away from that. Apparently he's become more wiser than God. And we see the results of man's wisdom versus God's wisdom. Right. Exactly. And that, and again, that just proves what God said in the last chapter, that man's heart is just wicked. It's evil. His imagination is evil. Right. And our imagination, our thinking, you have to realize that your thinking, my thinking, has got sin in it. And there's a sin influence in our thinking. And when it happens, we got to confess it as sin. And then get into the Word of God and say, okay, how am I supposed to think about this thing? I know I've been thinking wrong. And that's just a habit that we have to continually do, because, I mean, we can just look around us today in the news and all of that and see how wicked man is. In verse 8, and God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, and I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, of the every beast of the earth, with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you, neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of a flood, neither shall there be any more be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, and I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, this is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. And that's a lot of explanation about the rainbow. Sometimes, you know, when we get hurricanes down here, I say, well, you know, God, remember that rainbow, you know, because, it gets rough down here sometimes. But we're going to see, hopefully we'll have the time, but we'll go to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we'll see how the earth's going to be destroyed next time. But let's look at 18. And the sons of Noah that went forth of the ark were Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Ham is the father of Canaan. These are the three sons of Noah, and of them was the whole earth overspread. And they can scientifically trace back to three people. They've done it. They can trace that there's three different lineages from the flood. Well, from all of these people and all these different nationalities and all these different cultures. There's three people that have done it. Shem, Ham, and Japheth have done it. Verse 20, and Noah began to be a husbandman, and planted a vineyard. And he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went back and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. I'm going to stop there. Well, he said, verse 26, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Okay, right there. Well, I must read the last verse. And Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. So he had a long life. You know, it might have been that wine that made it. Yeah, relax. You get all upset all the time. but he got drunk, and so it says here that he says he cursed Canaan. Now Canaan was his grandson. He was the youngest son of Ham, and the way a lot of these guys say is that Canaan was the grandson of Noah, and it wasn't Ham that did it. Ham went to his brothers and said, "Look, this is what's happened, and my son done messed up." Now, when Noah woke up from his sleeping and his sobered up, he knew what had happened to him. I don't know if you've ever. I know you have. It's like you know that something has been, or there's somebody in the room, or that something has been rearranged in your room, and like if you ever had your house broken into, or something like that. You know that something's out of place. Nothing gets by my wife. I'm telling you, nothing. I could put some salt on something on the island, and I miss a little bit. She'll come in there. Why don't you clean up? You know, she knows that something's out of place. And that's what I'm talking about. And that's how like Noah did. He knew that something had been done to him, or that.
So he was on the dome.
I don't think he got. I don't think he. No.
Why would you be upset with that?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he got drunk, and his grandson took advantage of him.
By covering him up?
No. I think he touched him.
Okay.
I think that he took some privileges that were not supposed to be taken. Well, no, he didn't cover him. Canaan didn't cover him. His dad went in and saw his daddy naked, which is against the law of Moses. There's a lot of verses saying you don't look at your mama naked or your daddy naked. And so Ham told Shem and Japheth, and so Shem and Japheth walked backwards and didn't see his nakedness. And that was what came out later on when Moses wrote the law in Numbers and Leviticus. So Canaan wasn't involved in that. And so it was, and again, these people have been on a boat for a year because God judged the sin in this world, and that sin didn't leave their mind. And I'm not saying, and their, these women were not, they were not Mother Teresa's. They were not perfect. They were just, they were involved in that sinful world, and they had just come out of it a year ago. And so they're... Oh, yeah, yeah. He said, look, you and your kids, come on, let's go. Oh, no, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, right, I know, ma'am.
I don't really think they're wise.
No.
Wise.
Right.
The
Bible's about one thing. It's about God and man, and about God's intermingling with man, and the salvation of man.
Yes,
and you'll notice that a lot of influence or emphasis is put on man, because man is the one who provides the seed for the Messiah to come. And that's why there's certain men that are amplified in the scriptures, and like Noah.
Yes.
Noah found grace. And you'll find that when Noah curses Canaan and blesses Shem and Japheth, that stuck with them till today. And so it's about the redemption. And I let me explain that real quick. He cursed Canaan, and he said he'll be a servant of servants. Canaan, when Israel came out of Egypt, they went into the land of Canaan, and they were to destroy them. They were to annihilate them. They were supposed to take the goats, the kids, everything, and just annihilate them, and they didn't. The Phoenicians were from the Canaanites. The Carthaginians were from the Canaanites. And the Greeks annihilated the Phoenicians. They destroyed them, killed all of them. The Romans destroyed the Carthaginians and destroyed them. Didn't save one of them, because they were very, very wicked people.
The Romans were?
No, well, they weren't exactly. No, the Carthaginians. Carthaginians had a practice of children baby sacrifice.
Yeah.
It was part of their religion, was to sacrifice babies. The Phoenicians did it also. That's the Phoenicians were the ones that had Dagon that we find in the Bible, and that was the fish god. And Phoenicians with the Philistines, same group, would took Dagon and put the ark next to Dagon. They took it from the Israelites, and next morning Dagon flopped over the monuments on the ground. And so, you know, God was really ticked off. But he did away with the descendants of Canaan. God used the Greeks to get rid of the Phoenicians. He got rid of he used Rome to get rid of the Carthaginians. And they were very powerful nations, countries. So then he says in verse 26, "Blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant." Shem is who Jesus came through. Jesus is a descendant of Shem. And so Shem is the Middle East, the tribes of the Middle East, the Arabs, the Jews, and some other people of that. Then it says, verse 27, God shall enlarge Japheth. Blessed is the Lord God. Yeah. And God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. Japheth is from, I'm going to say Europeans, Russians. I would say the Chinese are from, I'm going to say from Canaan, because that's not the the emphasis right here. It's just to say how that God, and he says here, verse 27, and God shall enlarge Jacob, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem. That means that Jacob will dwell in the tent or the covering of Shem, promise of Messiah. And so we get our religion from Shem, and we get our engineering, if I can say it like that, and our intellectual advances from Japheth. And you can look at it today. And so that's the three, and that's where they fall out today. I'm just trying to make it. Explanation is today. And it says there that after that 28, verse 28, and Noah lived after the flood 350 years, and all the days of Noah were 950 years, and he died. Any comments about what we just said? Okay, let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3. I want to show you how the world's going to end next time. Or it's going to be judged next time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. When God judges, he don't, look, it took him 1,500 years to do this, to flood the earth, to judge mankind for sin. And so they were pretty well gone. The animals were gone. Also, they were wicked. And we can see, and Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when he comes back again and judges the earth. They're married, given in marriage. It's just kind of like what we got right now. So let's read here, 2 Peter 3, beginning verse 1. This, the second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, where is the promise of his coming? They probably mocked Noah too. So why are you building this boat, you know? Why are you doing this? You've been building this thing for 120 years. When's it going, you know? And so, and that's the same thing, question. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were in the beginning of creation. Verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with the water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Same story. Man's no different. Verse 8, but, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. You know, this, my grandson told us the other day. He says, yeah, well, he bought something that's got a 5-year warranty. and his and I looked at well his grandmother from his dad was there. And we're about the same age, and we kind of smiled and laughed and said, well, 5 years isn't long to somebody that's over 70 years old. That's just a drop. That's like that. So 1,000 years as is a day to the Lord, that kind of puts it in perspective. Eternity versus what 5 or 6,000 years. Okay. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. And that's the big scare with Russia right now. We're worried about their nuclear power, and our leaders are afraid to do the wrong thing because of this verse right here. What can happen?
That
with
would be man's
choice. Right.
Right.
No, he's not. He's not. But there's that fear. We understand. Leaders of this country and of the world, they're afraid.
Yeah.
They think. The power of nuclear bombs and hydrogen bombs of today make the atom bomb on Hiroshima look like a firecracker. And so there's that fear that's out there. But it won't happen. God's going to do it. Right. God's going to do it. And that's a good point. In verse 10 it says, but the day of the Lord shall come as a thief in the night. A lot of people ain't going to see it coming. It's going to come to them as a thief in the night. But us, like with our discussion right now, we know it's not going to happen by man, but it's going to come to them as a thief in the night. There's got to be somebody that's going to come up, and he's going to figure it all out, and everything's going to be peace, peace, peace. You know, we're not going to have to worry. Who knows? It might even be Putin. I doubt it. But there's going to be peace. He's going to arrange everything. Everybody's going to be getting along. That's when we're going to be gone. That's when the rapture's taking place. And so, but it's going to be to them like a thief in the night. They're going to all of a sudden put their trust and everything in this person. Yeah, exactly. Yes, exactly. Now, verse 11. Seeing that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of the Lord, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt, and with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for the new heavens and the new earth, wherein dwelling righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you may be found in, of him in peace without spot and blameless. And that's our responsibility, to grow in righteousness and peace, which are hand in hand when you're walking with the Lord. You will have more peace as you walk in his righteousness and do right. So it's going to happen again. Man he's incurably wicked. He cannot get along. I don't know. I can't prove it, but my little study of scriptures is it's about every 75 years, man has got to really go fight a war. It's been 75 years since World War II, and there's a fear of it happening again. Man cannot get along with man. He cannot do it. So, yeah.
You know,
we're getting late. That's okay. I've been watching that clock. I think I'm going to take it. But, yeah, women are becoming more – they've taken a stronger role, a more upfront role right now in government. They're not going to do better than man because we are wicked at the heart, at our imagination. We just are wicked. Look at Noah. Noah was a man after – Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He believed in God. He followed God. God told him, do this, do that. But what he did, he went and got drunk, and then it led to some impropriety with his grandchildren or grandson. And so look at Samson. Look at David. Look at Paul. The Bible's full of the incurable sinfulness of man. And if we ever think that we are going to get to the point where we don't sin, forget about it. You just sin by thinking that. So, but our responsibility is to share. Like I spoke to my sister 3 hours last night and trying to persuade her. And so just whoever you got, God opens the door for you to speak to him about this and say, look, this is good.
Do it.
Ma'am?
I said, even if it does no good. Right.
Yeah.
If you're talking to somebody that's not going to listen to you.
Amen. Good observation. Let's have a word of prayer. We're going to, somebody's going to be late. Some of y'all are going to be late for church. Y'all got to go to the bathroom. Y'all got to go do this. Father, I just pray now. Thank you for our conversation and your love and your grace through Jesus Christ that gives us the hope that we have that is so sure and so real in that you resurrected from the dead and are in heaven today. And what may we be about because of your love living through us. Talk to those and try to persuade others in love of you coming back and doing what you're going to do. And I just pray that for the services follow in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.
Can you imagine what this world would have been like if Eve had never given the apples to Adam?
Yeah.
It never happened.
Well, Sarah, I agree with you. It's all the women's fault. I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Started now. Jacob, thanks for your input, man. Okay, man. Don't get that sand in the eyes too much.
Yeah.
Yeah, those shades look good.
How you doing, Miss Lou?
How you doing?
I'm doing okay. I'm upset on what's going on in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing, you know, I see so much conniving. I see conniving women, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it's, you know, it really sad to me. I mean, because I know that God is working. So, I mean, I have that. My time is limited. And whenever he's ready for me, he's going to take me.
Right. Well, I hope it's your time.
And I mean, you know.
I'm selfish.
And I'm just something. But right now, for what's going on, it's sad. Because remember, I was a witness to this a long time ago.
Right.
I remember when Hitler invaded Poland. And I was a child. I was, if this was in 1938, and the news boys came on the scene with all their papers and what they were shot and streetcars. I lived on both sides between Dauphine and